All right, well, we're going to keep going in Romans. This has been good for me to just study through this and really take my time and kind of let the words of Paul that God inspired in him kind of marinate in my life, and I hope it's been encouraging for you as well. So today we pick up right where we left off. We're going to be in chapter 2 of Romans, starting in verse 17. But before we get going with that, I just want you to be interactive with each other for a moment. I want you to pick out somebody that's sitting close to you, and for 30 seconds, describe yourself to them. And then after that, 30 more seconds, that person will describe themselves to you. So I'll be patient and wait while you do that. Go ahead. Was that hard for anyone to do? Was it necessarily easy for any of you to do? Okay. Parker Palmer, in his book, Let Your Life Speak, says this: "Before I can tell you about my life and what I want to do with it, I must listen to my life telling me who I am." So even though we just took a moment to tell about ourselves to someone else, I want to know this morning if we really know who we are. Does the way we live agree with the words that we just used to describe ourselves? What kind of message does your life speak? The title of the sermon this morning is Live Life Loud. And this title I got from a song by the band Hawk Nelson. They're a Christian rock band. And I read a little bit of the story behind the title. And basically, it is exactly what Parker Palmer describes. It's their attempt at trying to get people to live the way that they portray themselves. And so I thought it was really fitting this morning, where we're at in Romans, and the message of that song and the message of Parker Palmer, to just take a moment and practice that, to see if the words that we use when we describe ourselves, and this is a different setting. If you were to describe yourself to someone who didn't know you, you might use words like, I'm a Christian, or I'm a father, I'm a mother, whatever. There's lots of words that we can use to describe ourselves, but are we living out these words that we use to describe ourselves? Living out our faith in a loud way, not just when people are watching, but in the moments when we're alone with God, when we're at home with our family. Do your kids, husbands, wives, and closest friends see the same you that we see in church on Sunday morning? So today, as I said, we're going to continue in Romans chapter 2, starting in verse 17. And we're going to see a group of people who really didn't live the things that they were proclaiming. The Jews in this passage were a chosen people. The problem was that they were so absorbed with the idea of being Jews that they forgot what it meant to live for God. And sometimes that becomes our problem. So let's read together Romans chapter 2, starting in verse 17 through verse 24, and see if we can gain some insight from what Paul says to these Jews. "Indeed, you are called a Jew, and rest on the law, and make your boast in God, and know his will, and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written." Now, I was hoping after last week that we were going to kind of move away from some of this harsh words from God and get into the love and peace and kindness, but that's not what God has for us this week. He has another condemning word, and that's okay. Sometimes we need to hear things that correct our thoughts and our minds and our hearts and our actions, because like I said before, it really is easy to kind of get into a mundane routine, to get complacent. It's easy. And so that's why the Bible has parts like this, because it happened back then to people. They got into a routine, and pretty soon the things that they were preaching, the things that they were telling other people, they weren't practicing in their own lives. So Paul starts this section with words, the words, "Indeed, you are called a Jew." And I think of back then, I could see one of them, you know, getting maybe ministered to, or somebody's talking to them about the Lord, and they just say, "Don't you know I'm a Jew?" Like, this was a really proud thing for them, because they were God's chosen people. And I think about people that I've met along my life that, you know, maybe I've tried to share my faith with, or talk about God to, and they say things like, "Well, I'm a Christian," or maybe they say, "Well, I know God," or one of my favorites is, "Well, I pray all the time." We hear things like this, but when we talk to these people, or maybe even when we say them, our lives don't reflect what we just said. And so the Jews were like that. They were proud that they were Jews. The name of the Jew brought with it a definition. They were God's chosen people. They were saved from captivity. They had miraculous protection from God. And the Messiah would be sent to their people. But they, like many people today, use the name without the lifestyle. So Paul goes on to address some concerns he has about the way they're living. First, he says that they rest on the law. The Jews leaned on or relied on the law for acceptance or favor. Not necessarily that they relied on works, though some of them did. They leaned on the fact that they had the law, and as a result were distinguished above others. They used the law to distinguish themselves, to put themselves up a level from everyone else. And I wonder if the grace and mercy that Christ offers us sometimes gives us a distinguished feeling. And this morning I have to make a confession to you that this happens in my life. I was thinking about being on Facebook or Twitter or some of these other places where you can connect with people from all throughout your past. And I have a lot of my friends from high school on there. And some of them haven't changed since high school. And they're still making the same mistakes, and they're still making some of the same decisions. And although most of the time I feel sorrow for them and I pray for them, there's times where I feel pretty good about myself when I compare myself to them. I feel distinguished because I know Christ and they don't. Because I've changed and I've grown up, and they're still living the way they lived before. So I pray this morning that the Lord breaks our hearts for the things that break His. That when we see other people in the world that are broken, that are lost, that we don't feel good about ourselves in comparison. The next thing Paul addresses is that they make their boast in God. And at first this sounds good, right? I mean, we're supposed to boast in the Lord, right? But that's not exactly what Paul's talking about here. See, the Jews felt superior to all other people, and they despised them because the Jews were the only ones with the true knowledge of God. And while it was true that they had the true knowledge of God, because He declared Himself to be their God, and you can see verses in Deuteronomy or in Psalms that support that. I mean, God chose the Jews. But rather than boasting to other nations, God desired their gratitude. He didn't want them to be proud and to rub it in other people's faces, but He wanted them to be thankful. And then He wanted them to share, to spread God's love. And again, here we can relate to the Jews, because it's much more common to brag about our privileges than it is to be thankful for them. There's no proof of holiness for a man to brag about the knowledge of God. And this kind of goes back to that same idea of, you know, me seeing my friends and them being lost and me being proud. Well, I'm glad I know God. You know, stinks to be them. That's not the heart that God wants for us. Holiness comes out of a desire to see the people that we come in contact with every day to have the same truth, the same saving knowledge of Jesus Christ that we do. The same idea that Robert shared last week, that we have to give testimony, not in a conceited and overbearing way. I've seen that done before, and it's pretty ugly for people to kind of overbear them with Christianity and say, you know, you better get right with the Lord. You better read your Bible. You better pray. All these you betters turn people away. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." Gentleness and respect. We attract people to our faith with love. I used to tell my youth group kids all the time, I've never seen anyone debated into being a Christian. It just doesn't work. You can't argue someone into believing in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Only as a result of them seeing that power in your life and in other people's lives will that happen. They're showing them God's love. So Paul goes on. He tells them that they're confident that they are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. And then he says, you therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourselves? Basically what he's saying is you're talking the talk, but you're not walking the walk. And he calls them out. Because he noticed that while they spoke against stealing, adultery, and idol worship, and in completely upholding the law, that they continued to steal, commit adultery, and they had things in their lives, much like we do today, that took precedence over their relationship with God. In the same way that we often talk about God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace, God's love, God's forgiveness, and God's life-changing power, but then we fail to offer grace, mercy. We fail to show peace in our lives. We don't truly live like people who are new creations. So our words and our actions aren't finding that common ground. I'll admit it that sometimes I need to be called out, just like Paul was calling these Jews out. Sometimes I need people to just come into my life and say, you know, you say these things, but I don't see them in your life. And I've got close friends that I count on to do that, accountability partners. And they ask me hard questions to make sure that I'm staying on track. And whether you admit it or not this morning, sometimes you need to be called out. Do we live the same kind of life that we expect other people to live? That's a hard question. We look out into the world and we say, why don't they just live for the Lord? Why are they doing this, this, and this when they could be doing this, this, and this? But when we turn that judgmental view inward, are we doing the same thing? Are we living like we know Jesus all the time? Do we practice what we preach? I spent a long time before coming to this church researching and looking at the different things on the website, and John sent me some stuff about the history of the church and a church profile, and one of the things that really stuck out to me was the mission statement. It says that we want to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord in whatever way we can. And I asked this morning, is that true in your life and in my life? Do we really want to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in whatever way we can? To me, that says we're willing to do whatever it takes to see people come to know Jesus Christ. And that's challenging to me. And I ask myself that. Am I really willing to do whatever it takes, or is that just nice in theory? Is that just nice to put on our website and on our bulletin? Or are we really practicing that in our lives? These are tough questions, some of which may be upsetting to you. Maybe they make you feel a little bit uneasy. Some of you might just be wondering what my problem is today. The truth is that we're all guilty, though. At some time or another, we all live just like these Jews that Paul was talking to. They were arrogant in their faith, so much so that they missed the boat. They were waiting on a Messiah, and then Jesus came. And they were so holy and close to God that they couldn't accept that their Messiah came as a servant. And they missed it. In verse 24, Paul kind of brings it all home for me. This is really where it kind of hit me in the heart. He says, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. The Gentiles saw that the Jews were saying one thing and living another way, and they didn't want to have anything to do with God. And the sad story is that that's happening today, especially in the United States. Because we have all the freedoms and all the comforts to worship, to put God first in our lives without any worry of being persecuted. And yet we don't. And then we try to tell other people that Jesus is the answer, and they say, how? Your life looks just like mine. The main thing I want us to take away from this today is that how we live and how we think and our faith have eternal outcomes, not just for us, but for those around us. There's a contemporary parable that says it like this. A peasant drove his sturdy ox through the village on the way to work the fields. A flea sat on the ox's nose. At the end of the day, the ox and the peasant trudged back through the village, the fields now plowed, and the flea still perched on the ox's nose. The peasant and the ox trudged by the village in silence. The flea, however, bowed grandly to every side, proclaiming, "We've been plowing." We live in a postmodern world, and a lot of postmodern people are looking at Christians in the same way that the Jews were looked at in Paul's day. They see us as arrogant, believing that our religion is the only way to go to heaven, thinking that we are the sole bearers of God's instructions, that we're prideful, that we believe we have all the answers to life's struggles. The thing is that the Jews were right back then. They were God's chosen people. They were given God's truth. And we're right today. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Jesus Christ does have all the answers to our struggles and our problems. So the problem isn't what we believe. Our problem is the same as it was for the Jews back then, is that we say these things and then we act in a way that's totally contrary to what we're saying. The word is hypocrisy. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with the history of this word, but it was a Shakespearean term that's used for an actor who plays many roles, and he had different masks. And he would put on this mask to play this role, and then he would put on this mask to play this role, and it would go back and forth and play four or five different roles in one play. So when the world sees Christians as hypocrites, they see us as wearing different masks. Do you have a Sunday morning mask? Do you have a Bible study mask? Do you have a mom mask and a dad mask and a work mask? Or can you just take it off and just say, I'm me? This is who I really am. I love Jesus, I love the Lord, and I really try to live my faith out every day. Francis of Assisi once wrote, "Preach the gospel always. If necessary, use words." That's powerful. Our lives should be preaching the gospel. We shouldn't have to say anything. Early on in my faith, somebody asked me, if I asked somebody that didn't know you, if you were a Christian, do you think they'd be able to tell? And I thought, well, how in the world can they tell? But that's true. They should be able to tell. We should be loving. We should be forgiving. We should offer mercy and grace. All these things that God gives to us, we should in turn give to others. Preach the gospel always. If necessary, use words. So God's calling us to live life loud for His glory. There's a phrase that I use around Easter every year. But I want to use it this morning because it's really powerful and it speaks to kind of what we're talking about. And that phrase is that we have something that no other religion has. We serve a living God. A living God. Think about that. Our God is alive. Can any other religion say that? He speaks truth into our lives. We can have a relationship with our God. We can talk to Him in prayer. Have you ever just thought about that? How amazing that is? So if we serve a living God and it's so awesome and so amazing and so powerful, why wouldn't we want to exemplify that? Do we truly believe that it's really that cool? Or is it just one of those things we say because it sounds nice? So my challenge this morning is that for us, that we live life loud. That we preach the gospel with our actions, with our lives. That we take off all the masks and just be who we are, children of God. Are you up for the challenge? I want to read a story to close. The famous artist, Gustave Doré, lost his passport while traveling in Europe. When he came to the boundary post between two countries, he was asked for his passport. He fumbled about and finally announced, "I've lost it, but it's all right. I'm Dore, the artist. Please let me go in." "Oh no," said the officer. "We have plenty of people representing themselves as this or that great person. Here's a pencil and paper. Now, if you're Dore the artist, prove it by drawing me a picture." So he took the pencil and drew some pictures of a scene in the immediate area. "Now I am perfectly sure that you are Dore. No one else could draw like that," said the officer, and he allowed Dore to enter the country. People believe what we do on the stage of life, not what we say. So my final question this morning to close is, what picture is your life drawing? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for the challenging words that come from your scriptures. And Lord, even though they're not comfortable and they don't make us feel warm and fuzzy, Lord, they give us truth. Sometimes we do get complacent. Sometimes we do take things for granted. And Lord, I pray that you push us beyond comfort. Lord, I pray that we get uncomfortable when we're around people that don't know you, so much so that we want to do something about it, Lord. Lord, you've placed a special calling on us to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in whatever way we can. Help us not to take that for granted. We truly feel called to this mission. Help us to step up to the challenge and really live it out, to take off the masks that we wear and show people who Jesus Christ really made us to be. And Lord, I pray that when we need it, we get truth spoken into our lives, even if it's harsh truth, that helps us correct our path. But Lord, most of all, I just pray that we continue to seek your face. You've given us such an awesome picture of what life should be like. Help us to strive for that each day. And as always, Lord, you'll get the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.